Our kind Heavenly Father, as we are privileged to gather together here with our loved ones, you come to approach thy holy throne. In reverence to thy holy name and in thanksgiving to you for the innumerable blessings of life, the joy and the hope that we have in thee and in thy Son and in the gospel of Christ. To thank you, our kind Heavenly Father, for the patience that you have with us, even in our imperfections, and for the strength that is given to us, even in our weaknesses, from day by day, wherein that we might walk closer unto thee. We pray thee, our kind Heavenly Father, that as we have that opportunity to gather together in this land of freedom, a land that has been set aside and dedicated by thee, that those who live upon this land and choose thee would live in liberty and in freedom. As we have that liberty to come and to worship thee, we beseech thee, Father, that thou would so touch our hearts and our minds that we would have that ability to approach you, even as our brother read this morning, with that sacrifice of a broken heart and of a contrite spirit, with that full knowledge and understanding that we're dependent upon thee daily, and in thee only is our strength and our hope. We know, Father, that we have been the recipients of the outpouring of your love. And we're grateful, Father, that thou hast heard our prayers so often. And we have seen the example of your love that it has touched and caressed and held those of our loved ones, and even those whom we know not. Nevertheless, they have been blessed of thee and thy Holy Spirit. We're grateful, our kind Heavenly Father, for your Son and the life that he gave, that we might have life, the life that he lived as an example for us each, that it was not an impossible task. And as we come before you, our kind Heavenly Father, to be fed of one of thy servants, we beseech thee as equally, our kind Heavenly Father, that we have partaken of that food to sustain the physical body. And even now each should hunger and thirst after the living manna, for that sustains the spirit. And we pray thee, our kind Heavenly Father, that thou would bless our brother as he stands in this podium, that he would minister unto us under the influence and power of thy Holy Spirit, that thou would direct the desire of his heart and of his mind in the expression and the scriptures, that thou would carry it through thy Holy Spirit to the hearts of each that is here, that each might be able to leave this place and know this day they have been fed of thee. Father, we know that there are many who are not as fortunate as we. Our hearts go out unto them, and those names have been brought before us this day. Each one in their individual needs, we ask thy blessing upon them. We ask thy blessing upon thine ancient covenant people and for the work of the gospel of Christ. And we ask of thee, Father, to bless thy people, that their love for thee will grow daily for one another, and for the work of the gospel. And that thou would in thy wisdom call forth laborers, that they might labor in the vineyard for thee as polished shafts in thy holy hand. That thou would bless thy servants who's endeavoring to labor now and open up and prepare the way before them, that they might reach out for thee, we pray. Now, Father, we're happy that we have the opportunity to meet here with our loved ones, and those of the household of faith, that we might unite our hearts and our desires and our efforts unto thee and our prayers. Praying, our kind Heavenly Father, that we should never turn our back upon thee nor deny thee, but that we would extend our life before thee and before the children of men in the world, inasmuch that they would recognize that the salt has not lost its savor, but that light might shine and glorify thee in thy holy kingdom. So bless us now, Father, and bless thy servant who is to speak to us as we wait before thee. May we be able to draw our minds in, and may each heart have an invitation unto thee, we pray, that thy Spirit might come and dwell in our midst. And keep us, we ask in the name of Christ. Amen.
There's one part of that song that really touches me about him protecting. And you know, I've always felt like, and still do, I feel like that the Lord shields us from much of the power of the adversary continually. In fact, sometimes I'm sure even more than we recognize. You know, we have a reunion here, and I'm certainly happy to see everybody here, and glad that you came. And you know, through going and meeting brothers and sisters, why, of course, I met my brother that's up here today and his family. And as you know, as you go along and as you meet brothers and sisters in different parts of the country, why, they really get near and dear to you. And you find that the love of Christ is wherever you go. And you really enjoy the association that you have with loved ones. And with this brother that's who's to speak to us today, he doesn't need any introduction, I'm sure. But some of us here have had the opportunity to see him grow to a place that he's a polished shaft in the hand of the Lord, one who endeavors to serve him with all his strength. And that's a joy and a happiness that we have as we see those who love the Lord to the point where they give their time and their efforts for the work of the gospel of Christ. And my brother here has done just exactly that. And so as he stands before us as a brother in Christ and as an elder and a bishop in the church and speaks to us today, as sure as I stand before you now, I'm sure that the Lord has given him a message to bring to us. We've all prayed that everyone who stands in this podium would stand with the Spirit of God. And so as we come, if we come with a desire to listen, I'm sure that we'll be fed. And fed of the strength of the Spirit. And so not only for my brother, to ask for him for your careful and your prayerful attention, and I know that he'd like to have your prayers, we all would as we stand here, but I would like to ask you for your own benefit to give him today your attention. And I can promise you that if you give him your attention, you'll hear something that's good and wholesome, and if applied to your life, will help you to grow in Christ. So I ask for my brother your prayerful and careful attention, my brother Buzz.
Thank you, Hubert. And I would appreciate your prayers this afternoon. I'm thankful for the opportunity that I have to be here this day and for my family to be here. And it's been a blessing to us over the years when we've been fortunate enough to be able to travel here and to fellowship here or wherever we might be with our brothers and sisters. I'd like to start out with a scripture that was out of the book of Mosiah. And it's just one scripture I'm going to pick out of the midst of it. But it's a similar meeting that they had, and it was King Benjamin was calling all the people in the kingdom together, and he had some words for them. And he had brought them, and he's saying here, and I'm just going to read verse 39 on page 211. It says, "For I have not commanded you to come hither to trifle with the words which I shall speak, but that you should hearken unto me, and open your ears that you may hear, and your hearts that you may understand, and your minds that the mysteries of God be unfolded to your view." And I ask today that that those of us that are here, that we not trifle with the words that the Lord has for us, that we not might not make light of them or mockery of them, but that we ponder them in our hearts, and if need be, we take notes throughout the services of this reunion. We've gathered here from, I looked out through the service this morning and see that we have people here from Michigan, Iowa, Colorado, California, Missouri, and wherever else. We've gathered ourselves in here trying to remove ourselves from the world to come here and to fellowship with our Heavenly Father and with our brothers and sisters, that we might leave here strengthened and renewed and recharged, that we might be blessed and be able to endure, that we might be drawn closer to our Heavenly Father. So our brother Hubert was saying the opening prayer and was praying for this country. I was, of course, reminded of the blessings of we have upon this country that we in particular are fortunate enough to live on. And I'm just going to read a couple of verses out of the first chapter of Ether, starting with the 31st verse. And he says, "Now we can behold the decrees of God concerning this land, that it is a land of promise, and whatsoever nation shall possess it shall serve God, or they shall be swept off when the fullness of his wrath shall come upon them. And the fullness of his wrath cometh upon them when they are ripened in iniquity. For behold, this is a land which is choice above all other lands. Wherefore he that doth possess it shall serve God, or shall be swept off, for it is the everlasting decree of God. And it is not until the fullness of iniquity among the children of the land that they are swept off. And this cometh unto you, O ye Gentiles, that you may know the decrees of God, that you may repent, and not continue in your iniquities until the fullness come, that you may not bring down the fullness of the wrath of God upon you, as the inhabitants of the land have hereto done. Behold, this is a choice land, and whatsoever nation shall possess it shall be free from bondage and from captivity, and from all other nations under heaven, if they will but serve the God of the land, who is Jesus Christ, who hath been manifested by the things which we have written." So we find that although that we are extremely blessed on this particular land and in this country that we live in, we have a responsibility to serve God, to make sure that we've put His Son, Jesus Christ, first in our lives. And I hope and pray today that as we're gathered here, that we'll take time out to reflect our particular situation and what our relationship is individually, personally, with our Heavenly Father, that we might have a desire to improve that relationship, to improve that situation. And it's important that we have that will and that desire in our hearts to do that this day and every day. I'd like to turn to page 162 in the Book of Mormon. But before I do that, I'd like to say that I'd like us to be thinking about something as we're sitting here at this reunion the next several days, that we make a positive effort to make sure that we glean something from the words that will be presented to us, from the prayers and from the testimonies throughout the prayer service, that we might have these treasures and these jewels that we might take home with us, wherever we might be throughout the country. That we make it a positive action on our part to be committed to take something with us. And unless we do that, you know, it might not happen. Might happen, but it might not. But if we, each of us here, throughout the congregation, decides that there's something that I'm going to take with us, or with me, as I leave. Some, you know, you might have to write the note down of what the scripture might be, or just make a mental note that you're going to remember a particular scripture or a particular thought, and be committed to take that home with you. I know that most of us, as I look through the congregation, most of us here have gone down into the waters of baptism and made a covenant with our Heavenly Father. But you know, we're not finished yet. We have a work to do, and there's more to be accomplished. And I'd like to read something along those lines out of the second book of Nephi here. I'm going to start with the 21st verse. And now, my beloved brethren, I know by this that unless a man shall endure to the end, in following the example of the Son of the living God, he cannot be saved. Wherefore, do the things which I have told you I have seen that your Lord and your Redeemer should do. For this cause have they been shown unto me, that you might know the gate by which you should enter. For the gate by which you should enter is repentance, and baptism by water, and then cometh a remission of your sins by fire and by the Holy Ghost. And then are ye in that straight and narrow path which leads to eternal life. Yea, ye have entered in by the gate. Ye have done according to the commandments of the Father and the Son. And ye have received the Holy Ghost, which witnesses unto the Father and the Son, unto the fulfilling of the promise which he hath made, that if ye enter in by the way, ye should receive. And now, my beloved brethren, if ye have gotten into the straight and narrow path, I would ask, if all is done, behold, I say unto you, nay. For ye have not come this far, save it were by the word of Christ, with unshaken faith in him, relying wholly upon the merits of him who is mighty to save. You know, and that's the particular situation that most of us find ourselves in this day. That we have entered in by that straight gate. We have entered into that narrow way. We've come this far by the faith that we have in the words of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We know that it's through him and him only that we might reach our goal of eternal salvation. So our task is in the future, not in the past, but the things that we do from here on out. Serving our fellow being, serving God, putting Christ in our lives, making an honest effort to remove those things from our life that are not pleasing to our Heavenly Father, to be constant, instant in prayer, to study. It says here, wherefore we must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ. We must move with assurance, with reliance on the things that are written are true, that we can stand on them, that we can move forward and have hope. Having a perfect brightness of hope and a love of God and of all men. Wherefore, if ye shall press forward, feasting upon the word of Christ, and endure to the end, behold, thus saith the Father, ye shall have eternal life. And now, behold, my beloved brethren, this is the way, and there is none other way nor name given under heaven whereby man can be saved in the kingdom of God. And now, behold, this is the doctrine of Christ, in the only and true doctrine of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, which is one God without end. Amen. It says, yes, we must press forward. We must exercise that faith that we have that has gotten us this far. And our beliefs in the fact that the promises that the Lord has laid before us are true and going to happen. We trust in the fact that God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and is an unchangeable God. And we have that hope or that confident expectation that these things are to happen. That there is a plan of salvation. That there is hope for a better life. And we have that charity that's spoken of in the scriptures. The love of Christ that's demanded that we have. Over in page 776, I know we all know that, but I'd like to read it. And I would exhort you, my beloved brethren, that you remember that every good gift cometh of Christ. Every good gift cometh of Christ. And I would exhort you, my beloved brethren, that you remember that He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that all these gifts of which I have spoken, which are spiritual, never will be done away, even as long as the world shall stand, only according to the unbelief of the children of men. Wherefore, there must be faith. And if there must be faith, there must also be hope. And if there must be hope, there must also be charity. And except ye have charity, you can in no wise be saved in the kingdom of God. Neither can you be saved in the kingdom of God if you have not faith. Neither can you if you have no hope. And if you have no hope, you needs be in despair. And despair cometh because of iniquity. And Christ truly said unto our fathers, if you have faith, you can do all things which are expedient unto me. And now I speak unto all the ends of the earth, that if the day cometh that the power and gifts of God shall be done away among you, it shall be because of unbelief. And woe be unto the children of men if this be the case, for there shall be none that doeth good among you, no, not one. For if there be one among you that doeth good, he shall work by the power and the gifts of God. You know, that's quite a responsibility to have. Have you ever thought of that way? That if there be one, on an individual basis, that's us. We don't have to look around the room or around the congregation or around the church or around the world to wonder about these things, because that's an individual responsibility that I am doing good. I'm doing the things that the Lord has shown us to do. That we're following after the example of Christ. And the promises here is that if there's one, these gifts and these promises will be present. And we can stand on that truth and all these truths. I'm going to turn over to Luke. Eighth chapter. And again, it's a scripture that we all know. Fifth verse, a sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground, and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. Switching over to verse 11, it says, "Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and take away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And they which fell among the thorns are they which when they have heard go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience." Skipping down to the 18th verse, it says, "Take heed, therefore, how ye hear, for whatsoever hath to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have." I'd like for us to reflect in our own minds, you know, where we fall into this, in this parable individually. Which ones of these persons might we be? Are we going to be one of those that are on the wayside, and as the word is given to us that we allow the Satan to take it away from us? And you know, he's working full time on his behalf, and he's using every device and every deception and every power that he has to deceive and to draw each and every one of us away from our Heavenly Father. And we need to be aware of that. We need to be aware of that each day of our lives, and look about us and see what we're doing and see who we're with, what our countenance is. We need to see who's leading us. We need to reflect on that and be constantly aware that we don't allow Satan to just little by little draw us away. You know, I'm forever mindful. I can't see Jay right now, but there he is. I think it was at the temple lot one time when he preached. He was talking about the fiery darts of Satan, and he had the arrows and whatever with him. And I'm constantly reminded of that when I read the scriptures. And Jason's been doing some bull hunting, and I look at the arrows that he has, and there's these broadheads or whatever they call them. And the point was that Jay made to us at that time, that, you know, they aren't there just he was comparing the arrows and the points of today with the darts of Satan, and that they are made and manufactured to kill, to maim. And that's the same thing that Satan's out there trying to do. But we know that we can withstand all that if we are constant, if we are steadfast and dedicated and committed to our Heavenly Father. But each day, we have to be mindful of what we're doing that day, where we are and where we're going. Or are we going to be one of those that are on the rock, which when we hear the word, receive it with joy,
but we don't allow it to grow and have root and have strength, that we might be able to withstand the temptations. Because you know the temptations are out there. We have a responsibility to make sure that our ground is right, that it's not hard, not a rock, that it's not barren, that we nourish it. And, you know, that, I'm sure, is why most of us are here this day, that we can be nourished and fed. You know, it's similar to having a garden. It takes constant work. We plow it up in the fall. Next spring, we plant, we fertilize, we weed most of the time. We enjoy the harvest, and we got to go right at it. We have to plow. We have to till. We have to. It's a constant. It can't be something that we can just do for one day or for 1 week or whatever it might be and then leave it. But we have to have a dedication and a commitment to constantly be reminded where we're headed. One that's really hard, and I'm convinced, of course, when we read the scriptures, that Christ knew exactly the situations that we were going to be in our lives, in this world today. And we can stand tall and steadfast in the knowledge that He knew exactly the day and the time that we were going to live in. Here He says, they which fell among the thorns, which when they heard go forth and are choked with cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. And I know that you know that happens to me. I know that happens to most of us, that we get caught up in the cares of this world. And He's telling us here, don't allow yourself to get caught up, because you're going to get lost. Don't get entangled with this world. And that's one of the reasons, of course, we're here today, that we can come out of the world and gain that strength that we're going to need, that we need to be able to survive. In Ephesians, tells us to starting with the 10th verse, 6th chapter. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For you wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of the world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take upon you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. But it takes an action. It's telling us here to put on the armor of God, to use it, to be protected from the darts of Satan. That we have to have that faith and the hope. We have to be constant in prayer. We have to make sure that we're walking in a path, in the example that Jesus Christ set for us. And we have to be able to do that on a daily basis, each day. And that takes some purposeful action on our part and a commitment to do that. And, you know, I'm on another one of my weight loss programs. Behavior modification, I think they call it. I'm not on a diet. But one of the things that they told us in this class that kind of hits home here, it says that as you start out your day to try to go through the thought processes of where you're going to be, the situations that you're going to be under, if you're going to be under any particular stress or whatever, and kind of think ahead of time of what you're going to have for lunch or breakfast or dinner or whatever it is. And, you know, I have found that helps. And I get hungry early in the morning. No. But if I wake up and lay there in bed for a while and just think about, okay, I'm going to be able to eat breakfast here this morning. Or the other day, for instance, I had to go out to a breakfast that was with some legislators in Kansas. And I had to tell myself that before I got there that I was only going to eat a small portion of what was going to be on my plate. And of course, they had egg thing and the sausage and bacon and all this good stuff that I can't eat. And I only ate a little bit of it and got through that. And at lunch, I had a similar thing, and we were having something at work, and everybody wanted me to go, but I had committed I was going to go and work out. And for dinner, I don't remember what I did for dinner, but it helped. And we have to do the same things when we get up in the morning. And they make a good point, and it works. Now, if we think about where it is and what we're going to do and what temptations we might be confronted with that day and how we're going to handle them, and if we get on our knees and pray to have strength to be able to do the things that we know that we should be doing, that we might be able to withstand the temptations, that in fact that we might be able to turn circumstances that we know that we're going to be addressed with that day, that might be negative, that might be entanglements into the world, that we might be able to turn them around and somehow let our light shine. And if we do that, we'll be successful. You know, the Lord has told us we can present all things to Him, that He cares for us. To be able to get through them. Not only can we, but He's commanded us to do those things. He's asked that we come unto Him, that we present them to Him. It's an open invitation to each of us. There's an example here in the Book of Mormon of a situation which we need to be aware of to make sure that we never find ourselves in a similar circumstance. And this is what it's the 16th chapter of Alma. It starts on page 417, and it's a situation where Alma is going to the Zormanites, and it's the condition that he finds among them. I'm going to start with the 85th verse, and he says, "Now the Zormanites were dissenters from the Nephites. Therefore they had the word of God preached unto them." Now, that's an important element here. These were people that knew. They had the word of God preached to them. But they had fallen into great errors, for they would not observe to keep the commandments of God and his statutes according to the law of Moses. Neither would they observe the performances of the church to continue in prayer and supplication to God daily, that they might not enter into temptation. Yea, and fine, they did pervert the ways of the Lord in many instances. Therefore, for this cause, Alma and his brethren went into the land to preach the word unto them. Now when they had come into the land, behold, to their astonishment, they found that the Zoramites had built synagogues, and that they did gather themselves together on one day of the week, which day they did call the day of the Lord. And they did worship after a manner which Alma and his brethren had never beheld. For they had a place built up in the center of their synagogue, a place for standing, which was high above the head, and the top thereof would only admit one person. Therefore, whosoever desireth to worship must go forth and stand upon the top thereof, and stretch forth his hand towards heaven, and cry with a loud voice, saying, Holy, holy God, we believe that thou art God, and we believe that thou art holy, and that thou wast a spirit, and that thou art a spirit, and that thou art, that thou wilt be a spirit forever. Holy God, we believe that thou hast separated us from our brethren, and we do not believe in the tradition of our brethren, which was handed down to them by the childlessness of their fathers, but we believe that thou hast elected us to be the holy children. And also thou hast made it known unto us that there shall be no Christ, but they are the same yesterday, but thou art the same yesterday, today, and forever. And thou hast elected us, that we shall be saved, whilst all around us are elected to be cast by the wrath down to hell. For the which holiness, O God, we thank thee. And we thank thee that thou hast elected us, that we may not be led away after the foolish traditions of our brethren, which doth bind them down to a belief of Christ, which doth lead their hearts to wander far from thee, our God. And again we thank thee, O God, that we are chosen and a holy people. Amen. And now, now it came to pass that after Alma and his brethren and his sons had heard these prayers, they were astonished beyond measure. For behold, every man did go forth and offer up the same prayers. Now the place was called by them, I can't pronounce the name, which being interpreted is the holy stand. Now from this stand they did offer up every man the selfsame prayer unto God, thinking their God that they were chosen of him, that he did not lead them away after the tradition of their brothers, and that their hearts were not stolen away to believe in things to come, which they knew nothing about. Now after the people had all offered up thanks after this manner, they returned to their homes, never speaking of their God again, until they had assembled themselves together again to the holy stand, to offer up thanks after their manner. And although I don't think that's going to happen to us, or I pray it doesn't happen to any of us exactly that, but it's an easy trap to fall into. Here is a group of individuals or people that had been taught. It had the words of God preached to them. And they turned it to fit their satisfaction, and they praised God. They had one day of the week that they preserved for him, and came into the chapel and or the synagogue and stood on his tall stand and raised their hands and acknowledged God and his goodness to them, that they were elect people for the blessings that were bestowed upon them. And then what did they do? Now after the people had offered up thanks after this manner, they returned to their homes, never speaking of their God again until they had assembled themselves together again to the holy stand, to offer up thanks after their manner. You know, and that's a sad situation. And that's what we have to make sure
doesn't happen to us. That we don't just find ourselves coming to meet here with our brothers and sisters for reunions, or coming here on a Sunday or wherever we might meet on Sunday and worshiping our Heavenly Father, and then going to our homes, going to our workplaces and our schools or wherever it might be, and not thinking about our God again. And going about our daily task and getting caught up into the world. Because the scriptures tell us if we do those things, we're going to find someday that we're going to look around. And we aren't going to be where we want to be. And we're going to be lost. The scriptures tell us that, you know, this is the day of our probation. This is the day that you and I have been given to prove ourselves, that we cannot procrastinate. We have to work actively each and every day to serve our Heavenly Father, to praise His name, and to ask for guidance and direction in our life, that we might have the strength. So as we're sitting here this afternoon and the next several days, we need to open up our hearts and our minds to the words the Lord has for us, that we might take those with Him, with us, and ponder them in our hearts and put them to practice. We need to make sure that on a daily basis we're taking a time out from our daily activity and the stress and the running around and chasing kids one way or the other or going to school or work, whatever it may be, that we take some personal time out to be with our Heavenly Father. That we step back from what we're doing. We take a moment to be with Him, to reprioritize what we're doing and what we're trying to accomplish. To listen to Him, to let Him guide and direct us. In Hebrews, I'm just going to read a couple there before I close. And it says here in the second chapter, it says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him? Point here is that we must take heed in the things that we have learned, the things that we have been taught, the things that we know to be true, that we hearken unto them. That we not let them slip. That we don't neglect the salvation that's available to each of us. That we don't neglect the promises of our Heavenly Father. That we be able to have the strength and the wherewithal to stay on that straight and narrow path that's spoken of. And we hang on to that rod of iron. I had a whole bunch of notes here in summary, but I'm not going to be able to read them, I guess. So it's important. And I hope the point that I've been able to bring out is that we reflect on our own selves and our situation and that we make a commitment to improve. No matter where we are in a whole spectrum of activities personally, between the good and the bad and whatever, but that we make a commitment ourselves personally to improve our relationship with our Heavenly Father. And then if we do that, you know, we know that we need to take His commandments seriously. That there's a reason that He's preserved these scriptures for us. And they're for us, for our edification. That we make it an effort each day of our lives to draw ourselves closer to Him. That if we find ourselves in particular circumstances that are hard to remove ourselves from, but that we know in our heart are allowing us to draw ourselves further from our Heavenly Father, that we get on our knees and pray about it, and pray how we might be able to turn those particular circumstances, whatever they might be, around, that they might be for good. And in fact, they might draw us closer and others closer to our Heavenly Father. That we take the time to actually plan these types of activities that we can correct things in our life. You know, it's a little bit like eating a whale. And how do you eat a whale? One bite at a time. And as we look at all the trials and the tribulations and the temptations and the things that are out there in the world, we wonder, how can we endure? One bite at a time. On our knees to our Heavenly Father, humbling ourselves before Him for direction and for that strength that can only come from Him. Closing, I'd just like to read the words of a song for you. It's Take Time to Be Holy. It's on page 268. Take time to be holy. Speak oft with the Lord. Abide in Him always and feed on His word. Make friends of God's children. Help those who are weak, forgetting in nothing His blessing to seek. Take time to be holy. The world rushes on. Spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. By looking to Jesus, like Him thou shalt be. Thy friends and thy conduct His likeness shall see. Take time to be holy. Let Him be thy guide, and run not before Him, whatever betide. In joy or in sorrow, still follow thy Lord, and looking to Jesus, still trust in His word. Take time to be holy. Be calm in thy soul. Each thought and each motive beneath His control. Thus, led by His Spirit, to fountains of love, thou soon shall be fitted for service above. Thank you.
Shall we stand as we sing, please?
Restore to us our rightful mind in pure love.
Heavenly Father, as we come to the close of this service at this particular time, we're indeed grateful, Father, for the message of awareness that was brought before us. That would bring to heart and mind the constant walk and the endurance to the end in Thee. And in Thee only is the strength that allows the weakness of the flesh to become strong in the Spirit. And so we pray Thee, our kind Heavenly Father, that we would make that commitment each one and allow only for the potter to mold the clay, that we would become a vessel of righteousness and of beauty, one whose life will glorify Thee in Thy holy kingdom. Now, Father, we pray that as we leave this particular service and have time now between now and the beginning of the song service at 5, we pray that our association one with another and our conversation one with another would be pleasing and joyous unto Thee. That Thou would be with us and keep our hearts and our minds upon Thee, that our hearts should be drawn out upon Thee daily. And that You would continue, we pray, Father, to lead and to direct us each, to bless us each through this reunion, that each would be fed in their needs, to sustain us, that we might stand, that we might walk justly and holy before Thee. So bless us now, Father, until we meet again, we ask and we pray it in the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.